Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, there we go. Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Sabri Benishore. Thank you to everyone for joining us this Friday for Economics on Tap, whether you are joining us on the YouTube live stream or listening to the podcast.
Yes, we are going to have some news and a round of half full, half empty coming up. But first, Sabri, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking this bright purple pre-workout because I am going to go exercise after this, and it has beta-alanine, which makes your body like tingle, like feels like things are crawling on you, which I assume means that it's working, and some creatine powder. But that's what I'm, this is my bed that I've made for myself, and I'm in it.
Well, I am very glad that you
What
have
are you
that.
Drinking?
Well, I'm sweating because I was just running around my house to catch my cat because I finally have, very excited, my Jasper tumbler, the swag.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is that wait, that's your cat?
Yeah, look. They look alike.
Oh, my God.
Can you see? Look.
Yeah. They're so cute. Wait, is that actually Jasper?
Yeah, it's actually Jasper. They made like a cool picture of him. I'm not sure if I can get him to sit like he's sitting on the mug. Let's see. No, not quite.
Yeah, no, that's very, yeah, that's close enough. Yeah.
He's so mad at me. Poor cat. Poor abused Jasper. Let me give him some treats. Yeah, you deserve treats for that, buddy. There you go.
Oh, my God, he pounced.
Yes, he is definitely a pouncer. But what you all just saw was one of our very exciting thank you gifts, because we are still fundraising, and one of the gifts that you can get if you're able to donate to Marketplace now, he's still hunting for treats back there, is the Make Me Smile Jasper Tumblr, which has the adorable little Jasper on it. It has Make Me Smile over here and Make Me Smart on the back. And you can get it for the low, low price of $10 a month, which is the support that we would really appreciate. And you, too, can drink out of your Make Me Smart Jasper tumbler, bourbon, pomegranate juice, ginger ale, and bitters.
Yum. Oh, that sounds so good.
It
what
is
the name
really
of that drink
good.
Again?
What Kimberly had in her refrigerator.
Oh, that's the best kind of drink.
But in all seriousness, we really do appreciate everyone who supports us. And if the Jasper Tumblr is not enough for you, your support also helps support our reporters like Sabri, who does all of these amazing big macroeconomic stories and global economy stories and things that I often don't even understand myself. And then I understand them after I listen to Sabri. So what have you been covering lately?
Well, recently I've been reading up on artificial intelligence. There is a sort of strategic competition between the U.S. and China for, you know, innovation in that field. I mean, China's been trying for a while to sort of dominate a lot of strategic technologies, and the U.S. wants to do that too. So I'm exploring how that's going. That's what I've been up to. What about you?
I've been on Marketplace Tech, and we are digging into artificial intelligence, algorithms. We spend a lot of time talking about the different ways that technology either perpetuates or sometimes helps reduce inequality. And that's been really, really fascinating for me to work on. And, you know, I'm based in Washington, and so much of the tech story right now is a policy story and how these big tech companies are going to get regulated. And all of that work that Sabri is doing, that I'm doing, that all the Marketplace reporters and producers and writers and engineers are doing, only happens with y'all's support. So if you are able to do it and you perhaps want a Jasper Tumblr, go to makemesmart.org/givesmart. One more time, marketplace.org/givesmart. I promise I wasn't pre-gaming too much. All right, let's do the news. Sabri, what do you have?
So I saw that Virginia and a number of places are ending their bans on facial recognition technology by law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So Virginia is getting rid of its ban. I mean, it's not saying you can do anything you want. It's saying that facial recognition has to pass a 98% accuracy test done by the National Institute for Standards and Technology, and then you can use it. Law enforcement can use it. New Orleans is going to lift its ban. California is going to, its ban is going to expire basically. And, it's interesting because, you know, originally one of the reasons why people were freaked out by the use of facial recognition was that, you know, early research showed it did not identify minorities as well as it did, white people. So, and which you can only imagine, you know, the trouble that would cause, you know, if you have false identifications leading to arrests, et cetera, in an inequitable way. You know, the National Institutes of Standards and Technology said that a lot of progress has been made, that there are not those differences anymore. And at the same time, there's been rising crime and violence in certain cities and states where that has sort of pushed people to welcome any tool available to that law enforcement might use. It's interesting. I you know, those are both concrete reasons for either wanting or being suspicious of this technology, but I just don't like the idea of me, you know, picking my nose in the subway, being able to be identified. You know, I don't know. I know this is not a robust argument, but I'm just, I don't know. I kind of
makes you feel ick.
Yeah, if I have to start watching what I do and like when I'm like out and a night of partying or something and stumbling down the sidewalk, then it's just going to take the joy out of everything.
Stumbling down the sidewalk after a night of partying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big debate in Europe as well. They're trying to figure out whether or not facial recognition can be used on like crowds in particular. So if you go to a protest, should the authorities be able to scan the crowd and know everybody who attended? Here in the United States, after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, the federal law enforcement definitely used facial recognition to track down a lot of the people who attacked the Capitol. And that helped bring a lot of these charges that we're seeing resulting in convictions now. But that technology is really good, and it you know, might be used for nefarious means in the future. And so it's a real ethical debate I think a lot of us are going to have to deal with moving forward. And then if you go to a place like China, they just are pretty much universal. It's like, yeah, we're going to watch and know everything you do. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out in the future. Do you have another one?
No, that was just too hard. I mean, that was yeah, I was just couldn't make up my mind. And what about you? What do you got?
So a little follow-up on a story that I mentioned yesterday. One of our listeners, Rebecca, sent me a note on Twitter, and thank you, Rebecca, that, you know, lots of people are weighing in on the story I shared about SID, sudden infant death syndrome, and a report and a study out of New Zealand that there could be an enzyme that is linked to sudden infant death syndrome rather than something about the positioning or blankets or something like that. And, you know, she just wanted me to add an extra layer of caution that this is preliminary research and that it is, you know, an early suggestion that this enzyme might be a link. And health officials and pediatricians are telling parents, please don't stop doing any of the safe sleep measures that you're doing. Mm. This does need more research. And so thank you, Rebecca, for flagging that. I was very excited to see that study, and I do hope that the science leads to some sort of treatment or screening that can reduce the risk for babies, because I just can't imagine how terrifying that is and how hard it is for families. The other story that I have is, it's not a news article, it's a sort of statement or research from a group called the Campaign Legal Center that does a lot of research about campaign financing and politics and how money flows through politics and the law around campaigns and things like that. And they are highlighting something called red boxing, which I'd never heard of before. And so, you know,
is this like redlining?
No, not at all. You know how campaigns, official campaigns of candidates, are not supposed to talk to the PACs that support them and the super PACs that support them? And it's like, oh, we don't communicate with each other, and so that's fine. And so the PACs can spend as much money as they want to supporting a candidate without, you know, regard for campaign finance laws, because the campaigns and the PACs aren't talking to each other, right? So what's happening is a lot of candidates, apparently, are putting on their campaign websites language basically directing these PACs or anyone else who chooses to look what they want their messaging to be. So, for example, I'm going to say, I'm going to read this. You might encounter a bright red box containing the weirdly worded headline, "Voters need to see, read, and see on the go," fill in the blank, something negative information about the candidate's opponent, including the type of harshly critical statements that candidates often avoid making directly. As you scroll down the page, you may find downloadable B-roll stock footage of the candidate greeting crowds, or stock images of them smiling, waving, or shaking hands. So basically, it's specific instructions about the messaging they want, even specific towns and cities or demographics where they want the messaging to go, and the materials, video, that you can use to create ads. And the Federal Election Commission has basically said that because this information is available to everyone, it's publicly on the internet, it doesn't count as communication between the candidates and their PACs.
So it's just like, well, I mean, if the super PAC, you know, the whatever super PAC just happens to go to my website and see these specific instructions for how we would exactly like our promotion to go, we can't do anything. But that's what they're just, like, well, we can't help that.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of doing this, like, in a room with no windows, you know, underneath the Capitol or something, they just do it wide out in the open, and then it's okay.
Apparently. We need better campaign finance laws. And by the way, I apologize to everyone for not checking everybody's drinks, but I was too excited about the Jasper Tumbler because I just got it today, like a couple of hours ago. And so I'm sure that you are all drinking wonderful things on Discord and the video chat. And by the way, Sabri, I have to tell you, my sister is in the chat and informing me and you that she likes you more than me. And there you go. Apparently, I've been thrown under the bus. And she prefers you on the show.
There's nothing like family. There you go. You know, my mom will text me when I host the morning report sometimes, and she'll like if she can tell that I'm tired or that I'm like low energy, she'll send like a text being like, you know, Sabri, it's your responsibility to have a positive attitude and lift people up. And right now, I sense that you're a rather grumpy, tired person. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Is that how your mom talks?
Yeah. She has
that amazing
Queen's English accent. Yeah.
All right. Well, since we're already in a better mood talking about how our families troll us, let's play a game. All right. So now it is time for Half Full, Half Empty.
Half Full, Half Empty.
Yes.
Hosted by our very own Drew Jostad. Take it away, Drew.
All right. First topic, are you half full or half empty on the sell-off we've seen in the stock market this week?
In that I think it's probably going to get worse. Half empty?
Yeah. Half. I'm fully empty on that. I mean, it's so bad, but... I mean, I don't have anything positive to say about it other than, like, hopefully it will get better in, like, a year or two.
Do you think it is, like, legitimately going to be, like, the start of a bear market, recession, or is it sort of, like, just the ups and downs of the markets?
Well, I mean, I think, honestly, what it is that, you know, we've had 2 years where people have saved a lot of money, gotten a lot of money, had a lot of money, and just played around with it, thrown it wherever they will want to throw it, whether that's crypto or, you know, my brother sends random penny stocks that he thinks my, you know, sister should invest in or whatever. So people have just been throwing money around. And I think, like, the party is over. Like, all that is, like... has been sort of shaved from the market. You know, a lot of speculative froth, as someone put it, has been sort of blown off the market. So that's probably good. It means we're more based on fundamentals in terms of valuation of companies. But I don't know. I really just think a lot is going to be determined by whether, you know, supply chains rearrange, you know, in the next 5-6 months, and the supply side of things starts to be less crazy.
Okay, let's rapid fire the rest of these because we're stretching on.
Next topic.
Go ahead, Drew.
There are some signs that Facebook's metaverse development division may be running out of money. Are you half full or half empty?
Half full. Just because.
Yeah, half the metaverse. Which one is running out of money?
The metaverse division.
Running out of money. Oh, yeah. I'm half. No, I'm half empty. I want them to have more money. I want to see what.
Oh, you want the Facebook-run metaverse?
No, I want to see what else they come up with that the internet control.
Ah, okay. Next.
Are you half full or half empty on congressional staffers being allowed to unionize?
Half full.
Yeah,
it's
half full.
Supposed to be the right of everybody.
Yeah.
This has been a very interesting story because right around the time that these congressional staffers are trying to unionize, they announced that they were going to start paying them more in the House.
Isn't it funny how that seems to happen?
Yeah, has this weird correlation there. All right, what's next?
Okay, Apple is discontinuing the last remaining iPod. Are you half full or half empty?
Aw, kind of half empty. We were talking about this on Tech Today.
I don't even know where my cup is because I didn't even know they still made those. Like, I didn't even know that was still around.
One.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How old is that?
On here, it says 2013.
Wow. The year I started in Marketplace.
Yay. All right. No, I mean, they change so much about the way that we consume music. And so I think it's... Mm. I think it's cool. Nostalgia. All right, next.
Okay, Heinz says it is working to develop a paper-based version of the ketchup bottle. Are you half full or half empty on more sustainable condiment packaging?
Sabri, you look like you have strong feelings.
No, I am half empty. I'm half full on sustainability. I'm half empty on a paper ketchup bottle. Make it out of like algae plastic or like some. Take a glass. Glass can be recycled. Like paper. I can't. I can barely deal with paper straws collapsing in my mouth. I don't want like a pile of paper ketchup chimera like monstrosity in my refrigerator.
I'm not a huge ketchup fan, so I don't really care. So I'm going to lean on the sustainability and go full. And since Jasper went away, all I had to do was pick up the treat jar. He came back. There you go. There you are, everyone. You can see Jasper. Sorry, Drew. I got distracted. Apologies. Thank you very much, Drew, for half full, half empty. I'm sorry I distracted everyone. All right, that is it for us today. We will be back next week, and our Tuesday deep dive is going to be about, appropriately, cryptocurrency and what the troubles with stable coins tell us about crypto's future more broadly.
And you can send us your questions, your comments, your concerns in a voice memo or email to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278. That is 508. You be smart.
The cat's on the hunt for more treats. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by the amazing Drew Jostad, and our senior producer is Bridget Botner.
The team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, Isabel Linden, and Emily McCune, with theme music written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Oh, look, Jasper's sitting like he is on the thing now.
Let's see. Oh, he is.
Yeah, it's like the same mirror image.
He's so cute.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he's funny.
I only want ketchup bottles that are produced directly from Monsanto or OPEC.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.